Netanyahu in 2019, supporting Hamas. I want to read something to you. This quote, anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support the bolstering of Hamas and transferring money to Hamas.
I've only been here a few hours today, and you can just hear the soundtrack of what is going on inside Gaza right now. From here, just a mile or two from the fence, the other side is the northern, the northeastern tip of the Gaza Strip, and through the course of the day there has been 450 targets hit in the last 24 hours, targets hit, they say. The reality on the ground for Palestinians is unbearable. The figure now, the number have died in the past just 4 weeks, now stands at 10,000 people. That is a staggering number of people to have died in just a four-week period.
Yeah, folks, so as the man said, the situation in Gaza is unbearable for the people who live there. 42 bombs an hour they are dropping on the Gaza Strip. That's one bomb about every 90 seconds or so, round the clock, 24 hours a day. And we wonder why we see videos of children just shaking. It's indescribable what's happening in Gaza, folks. It really is. It's absolutely indescribable and it's unforgivable. Gaza Strip is being genocided. As I said, everything is a target. They're literally bombing everything. You know, Israel, the most moral army in the world, we're telling people to leave, go to safe zones, then they bomb the safe zones. And everything is a target. Bomb UN buses carrying civilians to safety.
هذا باص لليو ان كان بكل المدنيين الاحتلال قام باطلاق النيران على هذا الباص الموجود فيه مواطنين نازحين من شمال قطاع غزة إلى منطقة الوسطى والجنوب.
Bomb the refugee camp.
الأطفال في حالة هلع شديد
في بيوت آمنين في بيوت تم قصفهم جميعا في بيوت آمنين أطفال كلهم شهداء أطفال وشيوخ ونساء يعني نحن مش عارفين عن كل الدنيا صباح نقف محام
And this is a refugee camp they're bombing. Well, this is a Hamas target, is it? It's a refugee camp. Bomb the fishing boats.
يا غزة ما هنتي رمز العزة كنت كلا بل ما زلت
Bombed another refugee camp.
والله فيها 25 دار هي 25 دار في الدار اللي فيها 10 دار
And they're bombing hospitals, bombing schools, just bombing everything. And of course, the main casualty in this is children.
Mastra, Shabab, how did you get
Mastra?
هاتي أماني
ثلاثة ثلاثة
You know, 10,000 dead, they're saying, and that's official figures, of course. The real numbers would be far higher. 10,000 dead, tens of thousands missing in the rubble. Dead in the rubble, of course. You know, it's just incredible, folks, all while they're crying victim at the same time and claiming that they're never targeting civilians, or are they?
But I can tell you that we are not targeting anyone else in Gaza but civilians. Hamas is cynically, but rather terrorists, of course.
Interesting how those Freudian slips work, isn't it? You know, and you look at what's going on, folks, and the people in Israel, they just don't care.
I don't care. I mean, according to the Torah, this is Eretz Israel. It belongs to us.
I mean, you don't think there's any way that Arabs and Jews can live here in peace?
No. They don't have the right to stay here. Goy ve'yehudi asur lahem le'echol afilu al oto shulchan.
Yeah. Sociopathy. Programmed religious sociopathy. It says in the Torah. Fuck the Torah. The Torah's been a shit stain on literature for years, like most religious books. You know, I think religion is designed to lead you away from God personally, folks. I really do. It's designed to get in the way of that direct connection that we all have to the divine. But hey, that's just me. But, you know, this is just ridiculous what Israel is doing. And it's ethnic cleansing, folks. They intend to kill everybody in Gaza. Don't let them fool you when they say that they're only targeting terrorist targets. No, they intend to kill everybody in Gaza. All you've got to do is ask them.
The only innocent people that are in Gaza now are the 229 hostages that were taken. Once they will go back to Israel, we will bomb Shifa Hospital, all the hospitals, all the tunnels, and kill them all. It's about time. The world knows that. There's no argue about that. We are the center of the world now.
Yeah, the only innocent people in Gaza are the hostages. And folks, if they really cared about the hostages, and you're seeing all of this stuff everywhere, like, you know, we're not going to surrender, we're not going to cease fire, we're not going to do anything until you return our hostages. Meanwhile, Israel is carpet bombing most of Gaza. So if there are any hostages in there, I'd say they've been carpet bombed already. If Israel really cared about hostages, then it wouldn't be carpet bombing the entire Gaza Strip. You know, and I question all these talk of hostages anyway, all the posters you see. This is the propaganda, you know, the posters you're seeing, we're bringing them home, all these children, all these pictures. Probably half of them are AI generated, folks. I wouldn't be surprised if half of them don't even exist. I don't believe a word that I hear from Israel anymore. And any sympathy I may have once had for this state is now completely gone. I think it's a state full of sociopaths. And they've proved that, folks. They don't care. As I said, they wish to kill everybody, and that's what they intend to do. As soon as they get the hostages out, they're just going to level it. They're going to bomb all the hospitals, bomb all the schools, and just kill everybody, because that has always been the plan, and they admit it.
I think we can do a lot more inside of Gaza. It's a fight between the good and the bad, the good and the evil.
Yeah, you know, everything Israel says is backwards in this whole thing. Even Bibi Netanyahu is saying there's going to be no ceasefire because a ceasefire would mean they're surrendering to Hamas.
Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism, to surrender to barbarism. That will not happen.
Yeah, the thing wrong with that is that Hamas didn't attack them in the first place. This was a setup, folks. Even if there's high officials in Hamas going along with this, I would say they're controlled by the same people who control Israel. This is about ethnic cleansing. This is about destroying everybody in Gaza Strip. That's what it's all about. And that's the way they think. That's the programming, folks. We get told that the Arabs hate the Jews and they want to kill all the Jews when it's actually the other way around.
Al-Nakba al-Taniya an-Tariq. Al-Nakba al-Taniya. Al-Khanef Likita Kuru.
מרקם חיים, הזכות שלי, של אשתי, של הילדים שלי, להסתובב בכבישי יהודה ושומרון, יותר חשוב מזכות התנועה של הערבים. סליחה מוחמד, אבל זו המציאות, זו האמת, זכות החיים שלי קודמת לזכות.
השר בן גביר.
כן, פגש בשנה האחרונה ילד ערבי.
איפה פגשת ילד ערבי? ליד
הכותל.
דיברת
איתו?
לא, הוא דחף אותי, אבל לא.
ומה קורה כשאתם רואים ילד ערבי? מה אתם מרגישים?
קצת זעם.
זעם?
Yeah, and it's taught to them that they should think this way. You got rabbis out there saying, it's just what we got to do, we got to kill them all, and everybody in Gaza needs to be erased.
אם אני מתחבר למה שנאמר פה, או אם ההגדרה היא להשמיד את החמאס, אתה צריך להשמיד את כל מי שקשור לחמאס. וכל מי שקשור לחמאס זה שלטון, פקידות, אנשי צבא, תומכים, חמולות, וכל מי שבעצם העיף את הרשות ב-2007 וביסס את שלטון חמאס. זה מאות אלפים. וכדי להגיע למטרה הזו, אתה צריך קודם כל לעשות את זה, ואז לראות מה יהיה.
אתה חושב שמדינת ישראל יכולה להשמיד מאות אלפי פלסטינים?
לצורך המטרה, תראה, לצורך
המטרה... לא, אתה חושב שאנחנו יכולים להרוג מאות אלפי פלסטינים ברצועת עזה, והדבר הזה יעבור?
תראה, עכשיו בתקשורת הזרה יוצאת הודעה בשם ישראל שמיליון פלסטינים כבר ירדו מדרום הרצועה דרומה, וכל מי שנשאר שם נחשב כמחבל.
Yeah, so there's no question this is a genocide, folks. Even the minister for diplomacy, and this is a minister for diplomacy, she says, erase all of Gaza from the face of the earth, that the Gazan monsters will fly to the southern fence and try to enter Egyptian territory, or they will die and their death will be evil. Gaza should be erased. Does that sound like diplomacy to you? This is the minister for diplomacy. This is what she's saying. This is how Israelis think. It's absolutely insane, folks. These are the most evil people from the most evil state that has ever existed in the history of the world. It truly is, folks. You know, as said in Revelation 2.9, those who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That is who is in charge of Israel today, folks. Israel's a rogue state, and it's losing world support over this. Well, it should anyway. Of course, our politicians are still supporting it. The bigwigs are still supporting it. And think about this, folks. They're saying Israel is under attack. It's under constant rocket bombardment. We've got to go in and fight this war, which isn't a war, because it takes two armies to have a war. This is a powerful army against basically militants. That's all it is. They got no hardware. They got nothing. This isn't a war. This is ethnic cleansing. That's why they wanted Gaza to go dark. That's why there's no comms coming out of Gaza at all anymore. I haven't heard from my friend Nadal in 14 days now. I'm hoping that he's okay. You know, I can understand if he hasn't called, because they can target you when you call. When you activate a cell phone, they can pinpoint where the signal is and they'll bomb you, because that's what they do. But they don't want any communications coming out of Gaza, because they don't want people to be able to report what's actually going on there, the ethnic cleansing operation that is going on, because they just intend to kill everybody. That's the plan, folks. It's always been the plan. And they're brutalizing their prisoners horribly, killing them in the most dreadful ways. Incidentally, last report that I put out, I showed a video of people killing civilians and throwing them into a pit of tires. This video was sent to me labeled Gaza 2023. Apparently that clip is from Syria about 3 years ago, apparently. That's what I'm being told anyway. So if that's true, then my apologies for including that clip and mislabeling it. The thing is, though, even if that was in Syria, the interesting thing about the conflict in Syria and ISIS in Syria is that ISIS is Israel. Israel has always been running ISIS. They captured the head of ISIS and they found out he was actually a man called Benjamin Ephraim, who is one of the heads of secret operations in Mossad. The whole thing was run by Israel, folks. That's why ISIS was going through Syria and destroying all the Muslim infrastructure. That's why they were rampaging across the Levant, but didn't touch Israel's pipeline that's running through the middle of it all. That's why Israel was providing ISIS with medical support in the Golan Heights, supplying them with all sorts of logistic support, because Israel was running ISIS. ISIS has always been an Israeli operation, which is, of course, why they're now saying Hamas is ISIS. No, Israel is ISIS. Israel has always been ISIS. And everything they say is backwards, folks. It always is. So, you know, if that pit of tires and the people being thrown into it that I showed you last week was happening in Syria, it still has Israeli fingerprints on it because the entire operation in Syria was being run by Israel anyway. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they're doing to the people in Gaza. There's some pretty horrendous footage coming out of what they're doing to prisoners they capture, stripping them down, basically sexually abusing them. Yeah, not the way you treat prisoners, folks, if you're the most moral army on earth. And what they do to the dead bodies of people that they shoot. And I've showed you recently, I showed them urinating on Palestinians. I showed you video of them driving over Palestinian bodies. There's another video that surfaced which has a lot of that sort of stuff in it. Most of the images are blurry because they're too gory. But this is what is happening in Gaza right now.
اسكت
يا بن يا بن
تموت يا بن شرموتا
يا ماشين يا ادفيا يا بن
فو يا بن
زمان دخلت ايمه شلخ يا اوخل بتخت
يا بن شرموتا صام برمضان
ומה שנעשה לערבים את בני שרמוטות, יא מחבלים.
מוחמד הומו, בן זונה.
שיוכל אותם תולעים, את כל המחבלים, עם אח שימם. כל המחבלים.
אין לו רגע איזה חור. אין לו רגע, חורר אותו כשאתה בן שרמוטה.
ילד זונה.
מה זה, אבל לא ניתן לו אחד בבטן, ודפי רגע על כל השומן, לא מוציא לו? קיים, תן לו עוד קצת.
למה לא מפעלים בבטן?
לא, לא מפעלים, בשומן, בשומן.
טוב. אמא שלו היא הבן זונה. היום בפינתנו נזיין את האמא שלהם. נציל לך את העין קצת. נציל לך את העין השנייה. היא הבן אלף זונה. מגיע לך ימניאק. זה לעמית, עמית. עמית, זה בשבילך, כפרה עלייך. זה בשביל עמית.
דרוס אותו! דרוס, תזיין לו את האמא שלו בתחת! רוס אותו, טוב מאוד, בתחת! רוס! לזיין לו את אמא שלו בתחת! תפו על האמא שלך, דרוס! טוב מאוד, גרשון! בתחת, חצי גופה, בתחת! על הזין כל הערבים מהמנייק!
You see, that's what they do, folks. You know, and they do this while they're claiming that they are the victim.
People are trying to suggest that there is some sort of moral equivalence. There is no moral equivalence. We are not the victims. Sorry, we are the victims. We are not the aggressor. Sorry.
Yeah, interesting Freudian slips from these people. You know, it's just incredible, folks. And like I said, everything is a target. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. It doesn't even matter if you're human. You're still a target. Yeah, pretty uncomfortable stuff, folks. You know, and dozens of families have been wiped out. Dozens of buildings have been wiped out.
We're in Sderot in southern Israel, a few miles from the Gazan border. Behind us, we can see what remains of the Gazan village of Beit Hanun. There's only one building that's recognizable, and that's the minaret of the mosque. The fighting rages, and we can hear the report of artillery fire, airstrikes, where the battle against Hamas is raging.
Yeah, it's just incredible to see places looking like that and thinking, residential areas. These aren't Hamas zones, these are residential areas. And the Israelis don't care. They just don't care what is happening to these people. They're using white phosphorus as well on Gaza Strip now. White phosphorus is a banned chemical weapon, and that's what they're doing. Yeah, and all of the talk that they're doing this to defend themselves because Israel is under constant bombardment from Hamas. Constant bombardment, rockets falling out of the sky all over the place, is what we're being told. And while this is happening, you've suddenly got all these foreign dignitaries coming to visit. You know, Joe Biden went to visit Israel. Rickshaw Shitsack went to visit Israel. You've just recently had, what's that clown with the can't use a hairbrush? What's his name? From Boris Johnson went to visit. Scott Morrison from Australia went to visit. Both Scott and Boris marching along there with their bulletproof vests on, having a photo op, looking like the tough guys in the war zone. You know, all this is happening while there's apparently bombs and rockets raining down on Israel. Right, so of course all these foreign dignitaries go there for photo ops in the kibbutz while there's bombs raining down on them and rockets being fired by Hamas. See, it's all bullshit, folks. Everything they tell you is bullshit. This whole thing has been a setup right from the start. Even the whole concept of them coming in on paragliders, it's not possible. Where do they do their paraglider training? How do they get the paragliders? I've gone through all this before. And when you look at the video evidence, it's not paragliders, it's parachutes that are coming in. Parachutes come from planes, folks. Gaza doesn't have any planes. Hamas doesn't have any planes. All of this has been constructed. And the people in Gaza just didn't even know what hit them. They were just there going about their business. Suddenly Israel starts dropping bombs again like it does periodically. And they realize Hamas must have done something to annoy them. And they just wait for the bombs to stop. Only this time the bombs haven't stopped. And like it said at the start there, the situation for the Palestinians in Gaza is unbearable. And it's not just Gaza. You know, we're told that this is a war against Hamas. It's a war against Gaza. And yet Israel is bombing houses in the West Bank. It's setting fire to houses in the West Bank. In the last 2 weeks, 135 teenagers have been shot by Israeli snipers. Something like 1,400 or 1,500 people have been wounded as well. And remember, they like to shoot to maim. They like to shoot you in the kneecap or in the elbow or in the groin. That's the favorite of the Israeli IDF. These are incredibly sadistic people, folks. They really are. And like I said, everything they say is backwards. Remember the stories from World War II where we were talking about the lampshades? They used to get the Jewish skin and they used to peel their skin off the German Nazis and they made it into lampshades. All these terrible stories that came out. Well, guess who is one of the biggest holders of skin banks in the world? And of course, it's Palestinian skin.
So the atrocities just seem to be getting worse. But with time, they're becoming less surprising. Israel has a skin bank where they essentially take skin from people who they've killed, as well as anyone else who dies that passes autopsy. But very few come from Israelis, and that's something that was specifically stated in the documentaries. Most of it comes from Palestinians. A lot of it comes from Palestinians that Israeli soldiers kill. So for anyone who doesn't know, I am married to a Muslim man. My husband and I have been married for 13 years. We've been together for 16 years. He is a practicing Muslim. I have learned a whole lot about Islam through him and his family, my family, and our friends. Okay, so here's what I know. Please correct me if I have misunderstood my husband. Basically, within 24 hours of death, the body is to go into the ground as whole as possible. So with anything that can be prevented from missing should not be missing. They go into the ground ideally, not in a coffin. They actually go in a kafan, which is like a white wrap or like a sheet sort of cloth that covers them naked. They go in as they came into the world. And they are to ideally, if possible, be facing towards Mecca. So obviously there are challenges in different parts of the world, depending on regulations with burials and flooding and all that kind of thing. But that's the ideal situation. That's why they don't do cremation. When this is happening, not only have they murdered someone, they then desecrate the body of that person, robbing the family of the chance to be able to actually lay that person to rest according to their traditions. Now, Israel knows this about Muslims. It's because in a lot of Jewish customs, they also believe in burying bodies as whole as possible and not doing cremation. So that's probably one of the reasons why their skin bank doesn't have a lot of donations from Israelis, why their organ bank doesn't have a lot of donations from Israelis, because when Jewish people die in Israel, many of them will also have this belief that you go into the ground as whole as possible. And that's why they don't take it from their own people, but they will take it from Palestinians. It's just gross. And I mean, it just keeps showing more and more and more how dehumanized Palestinians are to Israelis. I mean, besides the fact that they've literally called them animals in the last couple weeks, they do not see them as people. And if they did, all this shit that we are uncovering and bringing to light wouldn't happen. Because when you view people as humans, you don't go against every single basic right that they have, even in death. I mean, in life, you torture and mutilate and terrorize. And in death, you desecrate and disrespect. Like, it doesn't end. Even in death, Palestinians are paying dues that they don't owe to Israelis. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know, Israel has always been one of the main organ traffickers, one of the main human traffickers in the world. And now it appears that they also have a skin bank. I wonder how many lampshades they have in Israeli homes. I must beg the question. Anyway, folks, it's incredible. They do all this, like I said, while they're crying victim. It's absolutely incredible, folks. Absolutely incredible. Now, they seem to have just this hatred for all that is good. It's mind-boggling. Even when you look at the worst Holocausts in history, the worst mass slaughters in history, Bolshevik Jews, the Russian Revolution, all through there, you know, and Bibi Netanyahu, this is the sort of man he is. You know, I place Bibi Netanyahu he's probably even worse than Stalin. I mean, this is a truly evil man. I consider Bibi Netanyahu to be one of the most evil people who has ever walked the surface of the earth. And to be doing this against the people in Gaza is unconscionable. You know, and the story that they give us, of course, is that, well, they voted for Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they voted for Hamas. Like I showed you at the start there, Israel put Hamas in place. They put them in a position where they could be voted for. They won the election by less than 3-4%. And Fatah didn't want to leave office because they knew what Hamas was going to do. You know, Hamas was not about any peace process. Hamas was not about a two-state solution or anything like that. Hamas was about armed resistance, and that's why Israel put them there. And that's why Israel kept them funding, because like I showed you at the start in that document, it benefits Israel to have Hamas in there.
Netanyahu in 2019, supporting Hamas. I want to read something to you, this quote. Anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support the bolstering of Hamas and transferring money to Hamas.
Yeah, they benefit from this stuff. See, with Hamas in control of Gaza, they don't have to worry about any peace process. They could say we're under attack all the time. It's a terrorist organization. And that's what they do. That's how they play it. But they say that the reason that they're bombing Gaza is because, you know, it's the people of Gaza's fault because they voted for Hamas. A lot of people say this. You get Avi Yemeni say this, that little parasite from Australia, a little Zionist stooge this guy is. And he says, well, you know, Hamas is ISIS. Think about it. The people from Gaza voted for ISIS. That's what he's saying. Well, Avi, Hamas came into power in Gaza in 2006. The population of Gaza Strip, 50% of the population, is under the age of 14 years old or younger. These people didn't vote for Hamas because they were not yet born when Hamas was elected. 75% of the population of Gaza are 25 years old or younger. They didn't vote for Hamas because they were 7 years old at the time. So that leaves about 25% of the population that is involved in what you're saying. Half of that population is women. They didn't vote for Hamas. So that leaves about 12 to 12.5% of population left. Hamas won by a 3 to 4% margin. So at best, half of the male population of that 12.5% voted for Hamas. That's about 6% of the people in Gaza Strip, at best, who actually voted for and possibly support Hamas. And I would suggest that even if they voted for Hamas back then, they certainly don't support them now because of what has happened to Gaza Strip since Hamas seized control, which is what they did. They seized control because Fatah didn't want to leave. So Hamas went in there with weapons and they basically threw Fatah out of the building. And while this was happening, there were Israeli guards standing around on the street corners watching it happen, making sure it did happen. Because it benefits Israel to have Hamas in there, because then they don't have to negotiate a two-state solution for the Palestinians. They can just steal the entire country, which is what they've done. And it's absolutely disgraceful. I will never recognize the land of Israel, not the state of Israel. The land of Israel exists within Palestine, the Holy Lands, but it's not the entire place. The land of Palestine will always be the land of Palestine. And I'll never trust an Israeli again, I honestly won't, folks. And think about it, you know, this is a massive war crime. This is an absolutely massive war crime, and all of our governments are supporting it. So why are you still supporting your government? This is the question that I ask, and I ask over and over and time again. You know, like, if you're going to give any authority to government at all, then the government's got to show some validity, it's got to show some integrity in order to be worthy of having that authority over everybody. But if your government is supporting war crimes, it's supporting ethnic cleansing, it's supporting genocide, which is what they intend to do to the Palestinian people. You saw all the stuff I just showed you. They intend to kill everybody, folks. They don't want anybody left alive in Gaza Strip. They want them all gone. And then they'll move over to the West Bank and they'll do it there as well. And they're doing it with full support of our governments. This is your government is supporting war crimes. Even the Australian government has sent warships over to Gaza. What for? Australia's 7,000 miles away. What are you doing sending ships over there? You're helping support this war crime. You're helping support the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. You fuck all these politicians, folks, honestly. And all the people who are still on the Trump train. What does Trump think about the genocide of Gaza?
We will fully support the Israelis in their mission. Recognized Israel's eternal capital and opened the American embassy in Jerusalem. I actually got the building built too. The wars have to be finished oftentimes before the peace. And if you don't do the wars, the peace doesn't happen. And if you're not going to be tough and ruthless like they are, it's not going to happen. I will defend Western civilization from the barbarians and savages and fascists that you see right now trying to do harm to our beautiful Israel.
Yeah, he's a Zionist stooge, folks. All you people that are still believing in this guy, I don't know why you're still there. It's been like 7-8 years since this guy was going to bring about change, and Q told you all to trust the plan. And look what happened. He told you all to march on the Capitol building, and now you're all being put in jail as insurrectionists. Meanwhile, Trump went off to Mar-a-Lago for a holiday, and they have a few theatrical indictments and all this sort of shit. You know, nothing will ever come of it. He's an ex-president, for God's sake. They're not going to put him in jail. It's like Hillary Clinton. Look, Richard Nixon, all the shit that these people have done. When did you see any of them go to jail? When did you see any of this stuff ever come to pass? It's all theater for the masses, folks. Big part of the Patriot Appeasement Program, the pacification program to stop you doing anything. That's all Trump was. He's a Zionist stooge, folks. All these politicians need to be in jail, every last one of them. You know, the British government, the French government, the German government, the whatever government, most Western governments are supporting this. So they're supporting war crimes, they're supporting ethnic cleansing, they're supporting genocide, so they no longer have any validity whatsoever. They're war criminals. They're no better than Stalin. They're no better than what people perceive Hitler to be. You know, these people, I would say, is open season on these people, because these people are criminals. They are not deserving the position that they hold. Justin Trudeau, all these people are war criminals. They're supporting ethnic cleansing. I've often said, folks, you know, if we don't deal with the moral dilemma that is Palestine, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And what do you think is going to happen in your country if your politicians who are supporting this war crime in Gaza right now, what do you think they've got in store for you? What do you think they've got in store for everybody? You know, and it's up to us to stand up and call this for what it is, to question them. Say, why are you supporting war crimes? Why are you supporting ethnic cleansing? And don't deny that's what it is, because that is what it is. So show me how your government is valid at all. Show me how you have any validity at all. You actually need to be arrested. You need to go to trial for your support of war crimes. And if the police aren't going to do it, then I guess we the people will have to rally up and do it ourselves. It needs to happen in pretty well every country, folks. Like I said, if you want to save Europe, you need to reclaim your countries. You need to go and shut down the European Union straight away. Wherever they meet in that building, just go and say, look, we're out. We're gone now. Goodbye. Arrest them all if you can. Hold them for trial. Put them all on Christmas Island, whatever, folks. But every country in Europe, if you want to save Europe, you need to close your borders, become autonomous again, an autonomous state on your own, close your borders and throw all the migrants out. And all this talk you're seeing through this as well, your cultural enrichment in Europe, you know, the Muslim war and all this sort of stuff. It's Israel who brought them all to your country anyway. Israel is the one who flooded Europe with migrants. Go and look at the Kalergi plan. This has been a plan that's been in the making for 100 years at least, maybe a little bit longer than 100 years, perhaps around 100 years anyway. The Kalergi plan, the plan to genocide the people of Europe via mass migration. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, the same fingerprints are on all of this, folks. And this is what our governments are supporting. You've got to understand, your government, Germany, France, Belgium, wherever, United States, all of these people, they're all supporting the same thing. Especially in Europe, all the European countries, every single head of your governments supported this whole European Union thing. It was the European Union which opened up all your borders and brought all these migrants in. Why do you think they're doing that? It's not for cultural enrichment. It's to destroy your countries, to completely erode everything about Europe from within. Because there's a certain group of people with small hats who have hijacked Palestine in the Middle East, who are pretty pissed off with the people of Europe for throwing them out of all their countries so many times when they tried to hijack their culture previously. You know, it's incredible, folks. It's absolutely incredible what's going on here. And they don't care. They don't care about the people in Gaza. They don't care about anything like that at all. They fully intend to genocide this entire race, the entire Palestinian race, while the world cheers them on. And they're very, very public about it, folks. They're sitting there cheering and partying when they launch rockets over to Israel, and they're singing songs about how they don't want peace with Gaza. They just want to kill everybody. Yeah, it's just unbelievable, folks. It's unbelievable to see this happening in our lifetime. It's unbelievable to see this just being put up with by people. Sure, there's a lot of people protesting, but even when you're protesting, I mean, there's marches all around the world, huge marches for Palestine all around the world, happening all the time. But what's happening at these rallies and these marches? I mean, you're just marching down the street and going home. Are you going to a place where there's speakers getting up and speaking at the end of the rally, big gatherings? And if so, what are the speakers saying? Because what the speakers should be saying is that, hey, we need to go and address the war criminals sitting in our government that are allowing this to happen, because they've just invalidated themselves by doing so. So now it's up to us to go and deal with the matter, because obviously the police aren't going to do it because they haven't arrested them yet. So perhaps we need to go to the police and say we'd like to press charges against these people. And if there's some sort of legislation in place which devours our ability to do so, well, we need to change that legislation, because we're going to do it anyway. Like I said, it might be time for the people to rally up, folks. You know, it's really gotten ridiculous. The whole world has gotten completely ridiculous. Over the last 4 years of all this shit they've done with COVID, all this smart stuff that they're rolling out, what they've just done with Acapulco, which is still in absolute ruins. I'm hearing that there is power coming back on. There is certain things that are coming back online in Acapulco. I'm currently in an Airbnb in Mexico City. It's the last place in the world I want to be. Well, the last place in Mexico I want to be anyway is Mexico City. But fortunately, I'm in a pretty good area of Mexico City. You know, if you like cities, it's actually a good place. So, you know, but I just don't like cities. So I'm kind of homeless at the moment. I've got a couple of prospects I'm going to check out over the next week or so. There's one that's kind of looking promising over on the coast. So I might be going to check out that next week. But Acapulco is still pretty devastated. Jeff Berwick has been doing a lot of work getting aid out to people. That's been really good. I'm hearing power's coming back on in certain places. The internet's not back on yet. It's not really tenable or feasible for me to go back to my house that I had there, even though I've still got the place. I've still got a lot of stuff stored there. I've got stuff here in Mexico City as well. It's kind of all over the place. It's really weird, folks. Like, you go away for a journey. I only went away for a week. And generally, when I go traveling, I've got a home to return to. But this time I didn't. This time the hurricane hit and just basically wiped out everything. The building's still pretty good though. All my stuff is safe, so none of it flooded or anything like that. The cat's safe, he's here with me. He's somewhere around, he's in the other room. And yeah, so everything's good. So, but yeah, I don't actually have a home at the moment. So that's not the best situation to be in, but I'm working on it. So, you know, it'll get there. I'm really out of my comfort zone at the moment. It's really disturbing me that I haven't heard from Nadal. You know, Gaza's really been playing on my mind. I've got to admit, folks, it's really, really been playing on my mind. Well, something else while we're on Acapulco as well, before I get off that topic, I just wanted to give it a brief mention. I did see a plan that Acapulco is marked to be a smart city. I don't know if it's a 15-minute city, but it's a smart city. Is Querétaro and Puebla and Acapulco are mentioned to become smart cities for their emergency response program that they need to put in these places. Very strange thing. There hasn't been a hurricane or anything happened in Acapulco, nothing bad, since 1996. Well, there was an earthquake. There was a bad earthquake, I think, in 2021. It was like a 7.6 or something. That's pretty normal for around here. So they're putting in this emergency plan for a place that never really has a lot of emergencies. Occasionally you get an earthquake, but most of the hurricanes go right past Acapulco. Very rare for one to hit. And that came out a month or two before this hurricane suddenly hits, devastates Acapulco, and away we go. Also, it was Hurricane Otis, and I'm told that Otis actually means wealthy. Interesting. I was watching one of Jeff's videos a week or two ago, and he mentioned that the big thing he noticed about Acapulco was that all of the poor areas were wiped out. All the substandard housing was completely wiped out. All the expensive housing, all the high-rises and stuff. The glass was broken and a bit of damage, you know, to the interior, not too much, but structurally they're all sound. This can all be refurbished and all redone. Is this a way of turning Acapulco back into an expensive retreat for the rich and famous? Because that's what it used to be. Acapulco used to be like the jewel of Mexico. Everybody used to go there. Elvis Presley used to go there. Frank Sinatra, Elizabeth Taylor. Everybody had places in Acapulco. It was the big party place that everybody loved to go to. And then suddenly it fell foul, you know, cartels and murders and stuff. All the good people left. And it would appear that they've just wiped all of that out, wiped out all the substandard housing, and perhaps they're going to try to set it up as a place for rich people to come on holiday in. Hurricane Otis wouldn't surprise me, folks, wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, that's probably all I've got to say, folks. Just a short video today. Like I said, I'm really out of my comfort zone at the moment. This whole situation in Gaza has been really playing on my mind. I had a lot of friends in Gaza Strip. You know, when I went there, I was only there for 10 days, but I met a lot of people. I went to the Ministry of Detainees. Yeah, think about that. It's the only country in the world to have a ministry of detainees for the amount of people that have been detained. When I was there, there were 4,000 men that had been detained without charge or trial. There was about 2,000 women who'd been detained without charge or trial. Around about 1,000 elderly people who need medical attention, and they weren't getting medical attention. Many of them spent time in solitary confinement. There was also around about 1,000 children under the age of 18 who'd been detained. All these people were being held in 26 different detention centres that exist within Israel. And you've got to wonder what they did with a lot of these people, because a lot of them never get seen again. When you look at the organ harvesting and skin bank and all of this sort of stuff, well, I think I can see what may have happened to these people. If kids get detained in West Bank all the time, so many people suffer under the yoke of Israel. It's an incredibly brutal, apartheid, racist, sadistic culture. Now, the videos that I've shown you of children being kept in cages, it's just horrendous, folks. And everything that Israel says is backwards. Now, that's one of the scariest parts about it, thinking of the fate of my friends in there, is hearing of the atrocities that Israel accuses Hamas of carrying out, and knowing full well that Hamas wouldn't be carrying out any of these atrocities. These are what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. This is very sobering when you've got friends in there, and I did have a lot of friends in the Gaza Strip. I had 7 friends killed in 2014. There have been, well, now 5 friends just gone offline during this last incursion. One of them, a dear little 8-year-old girl, she'd be 18 now. And she'd be 18, 19 now. A little girl I built the schoolroom for, one of the Samudi kids. I always told her I was going to come back and find her. When I left, she said to me, "Max, I can fit in your suitcase." And I said to her, "Yeah, I'd love to take you with me, darling, but I can't." And I never did get back there. I tried for years to get back into Gaza Strip. I had an airline ticket that I booked. I was actually going to take a cameraman, a friend of mine, over there, Louis. This is years ago. I booked a flight to Gaza and ended up going to Boom Festival instead that year. I can't remember what year it was. It might have been 2015. Something like that, 2015, 2016, I can't remember whether Boom is on an odd year or an off year, but I had the ticket to Gaza booked, and then another war broke out, like Israel started bombing Gaza again, and things went really crazy, and there was the Arab Spring in Egypt, and it became really difficult to cross the Sinai, because suddenly the Sinai wasn't under control of like normal police and just normal checkpoint people. Suddenly it was under military control. All sorts of really shit happened, like about 2 weeks after I booked this ticket to go to Gaza. And so we just delayed going. And I kept that ticket open for nearly 2 years, just there waiting, because I booked it through a travel agent, a friend of mine on the Gold Coast in Australia, and she booked this ticket for me, and she kept it open so I could still use it for like 2 years. And I tried so many times to get away into Gaza Strip, just to go back and see Noor and let her know I was still thinking about her, and just to see my friends in there and just to show some support for the people. You know, when I went in there, they were so excited to see a Westerner. They were so excited that someone cares about us. Someone is coming to see that we're not terrorists, we're just people. We just want to live like everybody else. That's all they used to say to me. You know, and most of the people in the university, they're all learning to speak English, because English is a worldwide language. And if I learn English, everyone will understand what I'm saying. And I want the world to know that we're not terrorists. We're just people, and we want to live in the same world as everybody else and just be like other people. You know, and it's really sad to see that they're forgotten like this. You know, any type of atrocity anywhere, like even Ukraine, even it was all staged, all that bullshit. But the world jumps up and says, "Oh, the poor Ukrainians, Russia's invading Ukraine. Look what Israel is doing to Gaza. Look what Israel is doing to the children of Gaza. What is their blood worth? Why is this happening? Why is the world allowing this to happen? And how could you possibly have any respect for any politician that's supporting this? If I ever meet Rick Shaw, a shit sack, I will spit in his face and knock his fucking teeth out. Same with Anthony Albanese. Same with Benjamin Netanyahu, same as any of them, I'll spit in their fucking face and knock their fucking teeth out, simply because it needs to be done. You know, these people are the worst parasites, the worst cacistocracy, the worst inhuman maggots we could ever warrant having as any type of thing that calls itself government. I mean, I don't know what fucking slime pit these fucking assholes crawled out of. But what they're doing to Gaza Strip, folks, is unconscionable. And if we allow it to happen and we don't say something, we don't call these shit stains out for what they are, then it's on us. But yeah. I don't know, it plays on my mind a lot, folks. It really plays on my mind. I guess I'm out of my comfort zone here as well, so. But yeah, I've had a hell of a couple of weeks, I really have. It's been crazy. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. I don't know when I'm going to be able to bring you another video report. I honestly don't. You know, I'll try to get one done in the next week or two. Maybe even in the next few days. I mean, I got so much on my mind. I'm here in Mexico City. There's not really anywhere I can do videos. I've been having so much audio problem with this camera. I think I need some sort of new audio connector. And this is the third attempt I've had at making this video. And so that's probably why it's a little blasé. And I've got to work out the audio. So I don't even want to go to a nearby park and do it, because chances are I'm going to go to the park. I'm not going to be able to check the audio. I'm going to record a whole hour's worth of video, get home, and it'll have no audio, which is what's been going on. So, yeah, I'm totally out of my comfort zone at the moment. And, you know, this, like I said, it's affecting me. Just to witness this level of slaughter, to witness what's really happening to the children, and to see the world turning a blind eye, all the propaganda, all these posters of Israeli children. See, again, it's all backwards. They put up pictures of their children, and they're probably just kids that are still living in the suburbs in Israel somewhere, or they're probably even CGI generated and not even real. And they're doing this while the Palestinian children are the ones who are literally going missing forever. They've been blown up, they've been killed, they've been shot in the head, they've been limbs broken, they've been maimed and destroyed and brutalized in the most hideous ways. Not just kidnapped. Oh, Hamas kidnapped our little child. You're not kidnapping them. You're fucking brutalizing these children. You're blowing them up. You are terrorizing them. Imagine living in Gaza Strip and having a bomb going off every 90 seconds around the clock, 24 hours a day. This is a level of Israeli sadism, folks. If they really wanted to just go and bomb Gaza Strip and kill everybody, they could do it in 2 days. They could just do it in a day if they wanted to. But of course they couldn't do that, because that would be too obvious to the world that they're ethnically cleansing. And they prefer it this way anyway, because then they can slowly terrorize them and milk every single bit of energy they can from these people before they die. And when they kill them, they will torture them and brutalize them in the most hideous ways imaginable, because that's what they like to do, because that's the sort of people that they are. You know, Israel is like a cancer on the world, folks. And the people who run it aren't the real Jews. These people are fucking parasites. These are maggots. These are the worst vermin that nature ever suffered to crawl upon the surface of the earth. And that's the truth. What can I say? I mean, sure, there's probably good people in there, but I don't give a fuck anymore. Honestly, after what they're doing to Palestine, I'll never trust an Israeli again. I'll never give any support to anything to do with Israel ever again. I'll never give any support to any government that supports Israel. Everybody around the world should close your Israeli embassies. Send these parasites home. Remove all funding from Israel. Let it fend for itself for a little while, because it's a welfare state. You know, and like I said, the people who run it aren't even the real Jews. And I am absolutely disgusted at the human species at the moment for even allowing this to happen. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who share my sentiment. You know, if you are one of those people and you can see the truth in this, I mean, I'm not directing any animosity to you. I'm sure you can understand what I'm saying. But, you know, just to see my friends being brutalized and murdered and all this shit happening, I can't believe the level of horror that I'm seeing come from Gaza Strip. I can't believe the level of brutality, the absolute inhumanity, the lack of discretion, the bombing of hospitals, schools, white phosphorus bombs, everything they can think of, you know, all based on an attack that was staged by Israel itself. Like I said, folks, it's not paragliders. How'd they get the paragliders in there? I couldn't get A4 paper and crayons when I was in there. Yeah, how'd they get the paragliders in? How'd they get the parachutes in? Because they weren't paragliders, they were parachutes. You know, parachutes come from a plane. The whole thing is so staged, folks. It's a false flag. And many Israelis know it as well. Anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Try to keep this short. Thank you for joining me on this report. I'll bring you another one as soon as I'm able to. thank you to all the people who sent me so many kind emails. Also, there was a guy who contacted me who wanted me to send him some library coins. If you're listening to this, some library coins from Odyssey, you wanted to trade some library coins for some Bitcoin. If you would like to do that, I'm happy to do that. I can't find your email, so I can't respond to you, but I remember seeing this. And so if you see this message, just send me an email again and we'll work that out. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website as well, folks. I really appreciate it. Thank you to all the people who contributed to Eddie's fundraiser, the guy from Acapulco who had his house destroyed. Thank you to all the people who contributed to Jeff Berwick's fundraiser, because Jeff's been bringing a lot of supplies down to Acapulco as well. I mean, I haven't been there. I can't go and check things on the ground myself, but I do intend to go back and check it out soon. And I was thinking of doing a walk and talk through the Sacred Garden, just in its completely demolished state. Just going to walk through and show you what the aftermath of the hurricane looks like. Do the same walk that I generally do, but just what it looks like without the secret garden surrounding it. So, but they reckon they're going to rebuild this as well. So it's all good, folks. Things happen the way they're supposed to. But I've got to wonder what's good about what's happening in the Gaza Strip. Perhaps it's a time of spiritual growth for all of us. An interesting thing that came to my attention as well, folks, is they did this right now when there's 2.3 million people in the Gaza Strip. Significant number, 2.3 million people. Look at the Great Pyramid in Giza, which is supposed to be this big spiritual beacon of whatever. So much theory about what the Great Pyramid is. But an interesting thing about the Great Pyramid is it is made of 2.3 million blocks. Interesting. This spiritual beacon on one hand, 2.3 million blocks. This genocide on the other hand, 2.3 million souls. Giza and Gaza. Interesting. Yin and Yang. Anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. Maybe I'll bring you another one soon in a few days, whenever I can, whatever works out. Like I said, I'm in a complete state of disarray at the moment, so I'm doing the best I can. But I'll bring you another one soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.
September 1st, the Israeli government confiscated the weapons of the security teams in the Gaza Belt communities. This was done against the will of those security teams in the Gaza Belt communities. Why that happened, nobody knows. Fast forward to September 10th. On September 10th, the Moatsa, which is basically the municipalities of the Gaza Belt communities, received reports, these are civilians, received reports of increased tensions on the border of Gaza during the Jewish holidays, which of course span from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret, which was on Saturday. Those same heads of municipalities asked the army if they should cancel their festivities in light of the warnings of increased tensions on the border of Gaza. And what did the army say? They said, no, don't cancel anything. It appears as though we're heading into a state of calm. Now, you can assume that the Shabak did not know about this attack, but that's highly improbable. I mean, Israel is probably the most advanced surveillance state in the world, and the Gaza border is probably the most heavily surveilled. And the Shabak, who somehow knew how about a guy who had corona in a toy store and tracked him all the way to a soccer stadium during the days of corona, somehow didn't know about this massive attack planned by thousands of random Gazans on pickup trucks and hang gliders. Are you serious? Are you really that stupid? Do you really believe that? Because if you do, I have a bridge to sell you. Anyways, so then there's the theory that they're called in Hebrew Tatzpitanot, which is basically the command and control center. These are the people, mostly females, who observe, who's tasked with observing the Gaza border fence. They say there's a theory that says that they were hacked, or that they conquered the, or that they blew it up before they could, they blew up the equipment that surveilled. Well, that's BS, because there's actual video footage that I'll also share with you of those same command control center operators reporting on the breach of the fence. The fence was breached in 15 different locations, and you want to tell me that the most highly advanced surveillance equipment on arguably any border in the world didn't pick that up, didn't report it? Well, they did, and it's documented. So don't believe that lie. Now, once thousands of Gazans on pickup trucks and hang gliders invaded Israel, which apparently nobody knew about, right? Okay, you believe that? Which apparently no one knew about. They had 7 hours to kill everyone in their path, completely destroy kibbutzim. Not only that, take hostages back to Gaza, unscathed, unopposed. Now, there are people who say, well, a bunch of battalions were moved from Gaza over to Judea and Samaria. First of all, that's BS. Second of all, okay, so what if they did? Do you know how long it takes an attack helicopter to get activated and blow up any one of those tractors or pickup trucks or hang gliders that invaded Israel? Less than 5 minutes. And I know all these things firsthand because I served on the Gaza border. Less than 5 minutes. It all could have been over. From 7:01 a.m. on October, what was it, 6th or 7th, on Saturday, I believe it was October 7th, it could have been a matter of five minutes before the whole thing was upended. And instead they had 7 hours, possibly 8, to conquer kibbutzim, kill thousands, and bring back hostages alive, unopposed. And there's many people that say, oh, well, this was just a breach. No, that's not a breach. I'm sorry, that's not a fucking breach. That's an inside job.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight.
Calls for a ceasefire. That will not happen.
Running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their cancer planes, ravaging fiery flames. Nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
والله بالله عليك والله بالله عليك.